Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. It is Monday, heading into our Wednesday, 4th of July holiday. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, another new study on how teens are using the internet finds that 70% of teenagers now hide what they're doing online from their parents. While that is not necessarily a surprise, it does beg the question, what exactly are they doing and how concerned should parents and grandparents be about what they are up to? To talk about it, I'm joined by Bob Fowler. He's the Vice President of Product Management at Image Vision Labs, which makes software to monitor Facebook activity. Bob, thank you for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks for having me.
So, okay, we're talking about hiding things from parents. That seems like a rite of passage for many teenagers. When it comes to their online activity, is it clear what they're often hiding exactly?
Well, kids are going to hide things from their parents. It's just, you know, as you said, it's part of human nature. What kids mostly use the internet for is gaming, either, you know, multiplayer online gaming, or they're engaged in some kind of social media like Facebook, which includes elements of texting, sending text messages to one another. And also now with the proliferation of advanced mobile devices, they're sending user-generated content, pictures and videos and such.
I see. Now, what is the concern then? I mean, if a lot of this is simply teens chatting with their friends, that kind of stuff, what is it that the parents should be concerned about and even, you know, put monitoring software like your own company's iGuardian, that kind of software to monitor what their kids are up to?
Well, there a lot of the network operators and companies like us are pursuing different ways to moderate content and basically give parents the tools that they need to help them in this area. The constant use of social media by youngsters just keeps growing daily. And they're using it for different things. And unfortunately, as we know from some of the media stories, that they're engaging in something called sexting, which is sending inappropriate material to a boyfriend or to their friends. And this could have serious effects. You know, once it's published to a site, it's going to be there forever. And it has lots of unintended consequences on both the child and the receivers of this content as well.
I see. So, now, when parents find this potential inappropriate use, sexting, that kind of stuff, I mean, is it done via Facebook, or isn't it typically done with the cell phones?
Well, it's being done in a lot of different ways. There are social media sites that are one-to-one or one-to-many online video chatting and text chatting services that kids are getting access to. Facebook is another site. Kids set up false identities, and they share, you know, content with their friends under a different persona. So this can be abused in lots of different ways. And one of the things that we see is important is being able to have the device itself act as policy enforcement and help parents block that kind of content.
That's very interesting. Bob Fowler, Vice President of Product Management at Image Vision Labs. Now, what do you mean by that exactly? Because you're talking about video chatting. So how is that being monitored? I mean, are parents looking at hours of video? And if you're talking about using the product to enforce certain, I guess, limits on the use of that video camera, how would that be done?
Well, our technology sits on a device, on a computer or on a cell phone, and can actually monitor the video buffer as it's being recorded. And it can make a determination whether there's inappropriate material in there or not, specifically nudity.
Wow.
And we can treat it any way the parent wants. We can trash it. We can send a note to the parent. We can do a number of different things policy-wise that will help the parent, A, know what's going on, and B, you know, use it as a teaching moment.
Oh, that's quite interesting. So it actually, this is software on the device. I mean, I guess nowadays people are using, and kids are using iPads. I mean, does it actually transfer on these kinds of, this kind of hardware also?
Oh, yeah. It's ideal for smartphones and tablets and things like Nooks and Kindles, the e-readers and so forth. Anything that has a browser, basically, and a camera, we can embed our software in that device and give parents an online tool to monitor, you know, virtually all the activity that's going on the phone, texting, images, pretty much anything.
I see that. Now, what about the intrusive nature of this kind of software? Yeah. It sounds very effective, but are you getting some feedback on what happens when kids are confronted with this stuff?
Not directly from kids yet, but we've done a survey on our own to try to understand if this is something parents want to engage in. Some people call it parental espionage, but we like to just refer to it as, you know, parental controls for the services that their children are using. And so I think that there's going to be parents that, you know, are going to really love the idea, and there're going to be parents that are a little squeamish about it. But it's an opt-in service, so it's not a mandatory thing. And you can set sensitivity so that as the child matures, you can, you know, allow, you know, bathing suits and things like that.
Now, this is you're not looking at all at content of text and that kind of stuff. This is purely image based.
No, we do both. We're focusing right now on image based. The science behind the image based solution, but it's a lot more. It's a lot more difficult to manage and implement.
It sounds complicated because ultimately, what you have two types of images. You have the image of a face, right, and then you have other images, which can include anything from a room to a pet to really anything in the world, right?
Right. So we use this something called wavelet mathematics to actually understand the content of the picture from a skin tone texture perspective, also from an edge perspective. So you can recognize specific shapes. So, yeah, we can recognize a face. We can recognize eyes, limbs, legs, torso, and other parts of the body that, you know, have specific shapes.
I see. Now, typically, from what you know, are parents letting their kids know ahead of time that, hey, we're watching you, literally?
Well, yeah, I think the smart parents would do that, but that might force, you know, that might have a side effect where the kid just is creating an alternate identity and kind of working around the parental control that the parent sets up. So
Now, really, you're saying that this software, it's actually then set up on a computer, on an iPad, on a phone, where it actually can cover every piece of hardware the family may own.
That's our desire, obviously. But right now, we're working with some of the mobile device manufacturers to do the embedding. And I don't know if your audience knows this, but there's a cycle involved in refreshing phones that are 6 months to a year before you see new technology roll out. So right now we're on platforms that the market will see probably next year sometime. It also runs as a web service. For Facebook, it's a web service. So you get the information about your child's Facebook account, and then you can monitor everything that's going on the site.
Now, let me finally ask you, then, when you work in this kind of field, which involves this kind of in many ways, a secretive monitoring. Is this where we're basically heading then, that we're going to all be keeping a close eye on each other? Certainly parents will be tracking their kids. I mean, is this going to be the case pretty much across the board soon?
Well, there's a lot of technologies that are being rolled out today by the wireless operators, for example, that have to do with the location of the device and where it is, and they can do something called geofencing, where to find an area where your child is allowed to be and where they're not allowed to be. When they cross that barrier, the parent gets notified. So there's a lot of different technologies out there that are looking at ways to help parents keep their children out of trouble and from making mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's our focus. That's what we want to focus on.
In the use of this by adults against other adults, certainly spouses might be doing this kind of thing. Is that inevitable also?
Well, like I said, it's an opt-in service. So if the owner of the device doesn't agree to do something, right, the parents own the device that their kids have, but I don't see it being used for spousal tracking, but I guess it could be. If it,
right. You never know. People are pretty creative out there. Bob Fowler is the Vice President of Product Management at Image Vision Labs. Bob, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
All right. Thank you for the time.
And we will be right back to talk about a fascinating piece of journalistic work that was found on Wall Street Journal today. It's one of the most popular articles on the site today involving being raised on medications, psychotropic medications. You'll want to stick around for this because we're going to delve into this very controversial and uncomfortable issue for many, and we're going to get some insight from somebody that knows from her own direct personal experience. That is next time. Michael Cohen, you're listening to 1320 WILS.